Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the Fan Morning Show pre-show for this great Friday. It's a Friday. Good morning to you. We've made it through the week. Colin Dunlap alongside, well, Jim Colony. He's at home. Producer Matt, he's on the other side of the glass right here. Chris Mack, he will be back on Monday. He's had the week of vacation. He'll continue on that through the weekend. We'll have a good time. I'm actually doing a show tomorrow morning, so that'll be fun. 9 to 11 a.m., I believe. Good morning to you, Jim. How you doing?
Morning, Colin.
Good morning.
Doing well.
I'm doing well. We were just looking at something. I don't want to make this a conversation. We'll do it during the show. People, and I'm high on P.O. Joseph, I think, but look at his height and weight. I mean, it's almost like a misprint. It's incredible, this P.O. I hope he's okay. Like, I hope he can stand up in an NHL game. I don't know. I was just looking at that, and I'd been looking at it for a couple weeks going, I can't believe more people aren't writing about this and talking about it, Jim.
Well, he's put on weight.
Still.
So imagine what it was like before.
I know. String bean. I hope he plays well. I really do. Anyway, we'll get to sports in a little bit. I was looking at the calendar. I like to look at the I'm a weird bird, man. I'm like an old person. I look at a couple things every day. I always look at the obituaries, and I look at the national day calendar just to see, like, what day is it? Am I missing something that we're celebrating? I don't think it's today. I believe it's over the weekend, tomorrow. It could be today. It was one of the two. I don't know. I wrote it down. National Handwriting Day. National Handwriting Day. Cursive.
Okay.
Cursive. Well, you know, now that I wrote it down and I screwed it up, now I'm going to need to go look back at it. What day is it? Let's see. Just so I get it exactly right. Tomorrow is, let me see, tomorrow. This is fun. Tomorrow is, National Handwriting Day is tomorrow, okay? The 23rd of January is National Handwriting Day. And I thought about this. My kids, they are not doing cursive. And we've talked about this, I think, in the past. They're not doing cursive, at least I don't think. I don't think they're learning cursive. Cursive is one of those things I kind of pride myself in knowing that I still know it and that a generation, you know, beyond us probably won't know it and will never. It's a skill that I have that in our people of my age have that we'll continue to sort of use, you know, sparingly probably. More people type things out and a lot of people just print letters. So what are the things that you learned that, because I'm seeing this now in a real-time application at my home, that you've never used in your life, but you were made to spend a long time learning in school. You know, I was thinking about that because, like, my kids are learning spelling, okay, right now, and they got some pretty tough words. My son is in a little advanced thing. My daughter's in the regular, which is fine. Fine, perfect. I tell them, just try to get B's. We're good. And there are some words that are like really long that he was learning. And then I started thinking as he does well. He hardly ever misses a spelling word. But I'm thinking, like, in my lifetime, now as I've gotten out of school and whatever, everything is a little red line underneath of it if I spell it wrong. I mean, there's a little squiggly red line, Jim, if I spell it wrong. And in their generation, it's probably even going to be even more advanced. They speak the words right into their phone if they need to. I mean, they don't have phones. They're 9. But is spelling going to be something? I mean, you're going to need to know the general reading. But are you going to have to sit down and memorize how to spell these words? When are you ever going to write them out?
I don't know. That's a good question. I've got a thing. I don't think it's on my work computer here, called Ode to My Spell Checker.
Oh.
Which is where it's a paragraph full of all sorts of homonyms, you know, the words that sound alike but are spelled differently, like there, and there.
Yes.
And so there's a whole slew of them that you still have to know, although the computers also pick up context now.
You're right. You know, that's a good point. Homonyms is a very good point. I like that. I like that. There, and there. No, you're, that's a good point. The other one, too, I was...
2-2-2.
2-2-2, right. We'll be back in 2-2. Anyhow, so the other one is they're doing now multiplication, fraction multiplication, where you have to put it in. And I got yelled at by my son. Okay, he's in advanced math. So he goes, he's a very intelligent boy. He goes to the next grade for math. He leaves his class and goes to the next grade. And I'm very proud of him for it. But I said, what about, so you need to, my man, find here. I said, I kind of remember some of this. You need to find the least common denominator and then move it over. And he's like, no, it's least common multiple. And he got all mad at me. So the term, yes, least common multiple.
Is that just a different word for what we call it?
Yes, or? Synonyms, right. I guess. But he was jammed up because the terminology was different. But then I'm thinking, there has not been one time since I was that kid's age, your age, my man, your age, 9 years old. He's nine. I was probably 10 or 11 when I learned it because, you know, I went to school. It wasn't as good, and I wasn't as smart as him. But I can never remember a time since I sat down and did that work for school that I've had to ever been asked, how do you multiply two fractions? Like 5/12 times 6, you know, 17ths? I've never been, you know, somewhere walking through downtown and a guy stopped me. He goes, hey, I got a question for you, man. You really helped me out. Yeah, what? You want to talk about the Steelers? What? 5/12 times 6/17ths. I need to know it. I need to know it or this bomb's going to go off that's tied around my neck. Like, how much stuff of that in the world is happening, do you think, Jim?
I don't know. But what school is and what school should be for is to teach kids how to think. It isn't necessarily what you know. We need to learn how to be better thinkers. And that's why I have a little bit of an issue sometimes where schools, you know, you put an emphasis on test scores, for example. Well, not for example. You put an emphasis on test scores and where your school ranks in terms of test scores as opposed to actually teaching kids how to think. That's an issue that I've always had. I'm not so sure that I was really taught to think because I memorized everything. And I could do all that stuff, but did that make me smarter? Not really.
I'm with you. That's a very good point. Jim Colony getting philosophical this morning. What were you going to say, Matt?
I was going to say, instead of having trigonometry or algebra 2 in high school, I would have much rather had a class of, like, teach me how to do my taxes.
Yes.
Or, like, you know,
and
teach
then
me
I
how
to... said TurboTax. You know what I
well,
mean?
Well, yeah. But, like, teach me about, like, mortgage rates and stuff. Like things I'm going to need to know.
Mortgage rates.
Mortgage rates.
In real life.
It's a romance language, I've heard.
No, there's just stuff. There's stuff that I know, and I don't have the heart to tell my kids. This is the struggle of being a dad, and I wonder if other people out there who are parents go through this. You beat your head into the wall trying to help them with stuff that you kind of, maybe remember doing when you were in school. And now they've elevated, especially my son, to the point where the stuff he does in school, I don't know the answer sometimes. I'm just not that smart, especially the math. And my true answer to him is, and I have to bite my tongue, what the hell are we doing this for? You're never going to need this in life. But I can't say that to him because it is an exercise in trying to advance. His whole world is thinking this is the most important thing that I need to get done today, and I have to do it factually and correct, or there are essentially consequences. And I'm never going to want to stunt his sort of his growth, you know, in terms of school, Jim. So it's a really weird. It's a weird juxtaposition of all those things that are thrown into one and they're being pulled a million different ways.
Yeah, and it was a long time ago. It's been a long time since you've done those things.
Yeah.
And so naturally, you get consumed with real life and learning how to do your job and working at that you get away from the stuff you had to know as a kid. But
the handy photo math app on my phone is pretty good. You take a picture of it. It reads it. It can see what it is. You can even do fractions, whatever. You take a picture of the problem, Jim, and then it gives you the answer. So at least you know it, and you could see if he got the right one. But you're right. Like, life got in the way of the stuff when you're nine, they tell you is supposed to be important, and it just ain't.
Again, that's exercising your mind. That's what that is. And that's not necessarily teaching you how to think. And yet it does exercise your mind. It's like, and I believe maybe it's because this is maybe why I do this, but like as you get older, if you do things like those puzzles you see on that one page of the Post Gazette opposite the comics, that it just to do crossword puzzles and jumbles and whatever that, there's a couple other Sudoku or whatever that thing is. It's just that stuff like that keeps your mind sharp. And
so, you agree with this texture then. It's just getting your brain active. It's not being narrow. It's kind of branching out, Jim. And it's an application of that stuff. It's not really learning that in particular. It's just branching out from what you feel is your comfort and kind of stretching it a little bit, right?
Yes. I remember, tell me if your son gets in trouble for that. Not trouble, but see if they give him a hard time for stuff like this. He does everything in his head, doesn't have to show you how he did it, but he knows the right answer.
Sometimes he does, or he zips through it too fast. He gets really good grades. I don't know if he's ever had a B. He gets super grades. But I'm looking at this stuff, and it's just foreign to me. Now, Jared, who's a pipe fitter, he sends a message, and he says, we have to add and multiply different fractions on a daily basis. Oh, I get that. But my question is, you got a calculator on your phone? I'm not knocking math. I'm just wondering if other parents look at curriculums and go, man, there's just unnecessary fat that could be trimmed, and let's get into the middle that's the meat some more.
I feel like with your son, too, he could grow up to be some kind of mathematician.
He's very smart.
You definitely don't want to be
I know, that's the other.
This doesn't matter, because it could for him.
Jim, Jim might know this, but Jim's very smart. He's so much smarter than me. It's a really hollow feeling looking at your kid doing their homework and they go, is this right? And I go, I don't freaking know.
I don't know. I don't. You know what? I can't remember if our kids, when they had math. I do remember this. When we moved away for a little bit and we were in northeastern Vermont, I did some substitute teaching. And I took advanced math in school, which nowadays wouldn't be as advanced as it was then. But, I took calculus as a senior.
Right.
So I had taken a lot of that stuff. And I was excited because I subbed in at one school for a math class. And I looked at the schedule, and one of them was advanced math for seniors, for 12th graders. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this will be great. and when I looked at what they were working on at the time, I had no freaking idea what they were doing. I couldn't remember, the sines and the cosines and the tangents and I can't even remember what the
least common multiple, not denominator,
were.
By the way. You get chewed out right there kitchen island.
I think back in the late 90s, it actually still was the lowest common denominator. But I felt like the lowest common denominator because I couldn't, and basically I just said, okay, you guys work on this stuff. I was looking at it with one kid and I said, oh, yeah, I used to do this. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're doing here.
None.
So I was substitute teachers aren't supposed to be of any help anyway. But still I thought, yeah, I can be useful here. And I was completely clueless.
Oh, man. All right. Text before we get moving here on the regular show. As a continuation of yesterday's pre-show, I was asked what the hell I was doing when I was flipping through the satellite and channel, and I won't say which one it was, came on. And then I had to tell the missus. I actually just threw you under the bus and said you were talking about it on the pre-show. I had to see what that channel was all about. I curiously on the way out of here again yesterday.
Oh, I forgot all about it.
I think it's 4:15 maybe or so.
I don't think
it's on the other side of zero. I was going down from zero and wanted to see what was on the high end because mine it turns, it toggles, and it went from two. My kids listen to number two, which hits one or something, and then zero is something like that, and then zero was a channel. Then I wanted to see what was on the other side. I thought it was play by play, and there was only a couple beyond there, and it was that vivid, and I was like, that lady just said that. This was graphic and ridiculous. And she's talking to a man on the phone? What is going on here? And so anyway, that was what we talked about on yesterday's pre-show.
Was that the old Party Line show with Ed and Wendy King?
It was a little bit, Jim, it was no holds barred. Mike DeFabo, we'll talk to him about that stuff. Coming up at 8 o'clock. Carrington Harrison, 6:10 a.m. in Kansas City. He's very good. He's super. And we're going to talk to him at 9:30. There is tons on the table. Good morning to you. It is the Fan Morning Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.